Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to The Glowdown by Breaking Beauty.
Our mid-month episode featuring breaking beauty news, what products we're loving
and not so much,
plus insider celebrity hair and makeup tips.
And the trends that are blowing up our DMs, we've got the hot takes coming right up. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Carlene.
Get off your phone, dude. It's time to record.
I'm reading your script.
All right. Script? What are you talking about? This is totally unedited.
Off the cuff, always.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to talk below the mic today so I don't get any sounds.
Please.
You're actually making your windscreen move when you do that.
Because of my baseball cap. I'm having a baseball cap day. It's a really bad hair day. I've like come to the end of the, you know, dry shampoo.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I just usually puff the Aveda dry shampoo in there, and it's like beyond that now. It just actually does nothing.
Yeah, your hair is dust now.
Yeah, pretty much. So now it's just like, okay, and baseball cap.
Done.
Yeah.
That looks cute.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what are we going to talk about? It's the glow down. We haven't done one in like a month. There's so much to say.
Mm-hmm. Glow down.
Yes. And I think we need to tease what we have coming up a little later in the
episode,
which is our pals from Full Coverage are going to be on the mic as well from Los Angeles.
Yes. Lindsay Kelk and Harriet Hadfield.
Hadfield.
Yes. Thank you.
Harry makes it up.
We are going to be chatting with them, and that was a lot of fun. So stay tuned.
Yeah. Awesome.
I know that we both got some facials, so this is like our little We Got Served segment.
That's right. So tell us, what did you get done?
I had the privilege of going to Langdon Hall, which is just outside of Toronto, about an hour's drive west, with Valmont. Mm-hmm. And this is a line that I didn't know that much about. And
I've used them before. They have the spa at the Hazelton Hotel here, uses the Valmont products, and they have phenomenal facials there. So I'm pumped to hear about yours.
Well, first of all, I just have to tell you that Langdon Hall is a country estate, basically a Victorian mansion. So it's got these beautiful English gardens with these lush flowers, and they have like five-star dining, and it's farm to table literally from on the property. And then there's like this lovely pool, and it's just a beautiful place to, you know, be tucked away. So the launch was for Valmont's L'Elixir des Glaciers, and the facial is called the Majestic Facial. So it's all about the idea of honey, and it uses all three different parts of honey, including the royal jelly, which apparently is very expensive and rare to come by. It comes from the queen bee. Yeah, so the properties it's meant to be like plumping and nourishing and stimulate skin cell regeneration. The facialist was telling me that like some of the people think that the results last 3 weeks, where typically, you know, the results of a facial might last like a week. So yeah, but my favorite part was the massage. They use this like butterfly technique, and it's really, really lovely. The facial is 2 hours long.
Oh, luxury.
And then they do...
Did you have like, were you like cuddled up in a down comforter? And
yes.
What kind of music?
Oh, I don't remember. I was just in La La Land. Like, I honestly, I think it was your typical spa, like whatever the spa music is, like birds chirping or some shit. Anyways, I asked when I left how much it was, and it's like $625. Like, I almost can't say it. So it was very luxurious. And I think if you can afford to go to a beautiful space like Langdon Hall, then like do it.
Yeah.
But otherwise, their products, I think like their take home products that you can use yourself is, you know, obviously the way to go. And I was speaking to Renee.
No, let's get real. If you can get the $650 facial, sure. Then yeah, you get that.
But it was so interesting to learn about a new brand still in the family. Renee was there. Renee C. T-S-E is her last name. And I was chatting with her about it. And she was saying how she knew of the brand right away. She's like, my mom uses it.
Yeah.
My grandmother used it. And I was like, what? And she said it's really big in Asia. Yeah. And apparently 50% of their consumers are Asian. And so it's very popular in other parts of the world, just not as popular here.
Yeah. They just opened a Vancouver standalone store to cater to that clientele, I do believe.
Yeah, they did. And apparently they're going to be very, very selective about where they open because they know that with their price points, they were talking about in Toronto, and they're like, not sure. Yeah. LA, they're going to, I think the plan's to open there next. So
cool.
Yeah. How about you? You had a lovely facial recently.
Yeah. I was very fortunate. I got to go to Los Angeles and with Dermalogica, and we had lunch with the wonderful, inspirational, just all around amazing person, Jane Warwand. She started Dermalogica in the late 80s with, I think, $2,500 to her name, and 2 years ago sold it to Unilever. And so she's just bootstrapped this whole company that employs so many women, and just she was phenomenal. Every time I talk to her, I'm like, you just want to do more.
We got to get her on the podcast.
We're gonna get her, that we're working on that.
Yeah, but a little foreshadowing for next year, hopefully.
So I got to learn about their new launches when I was there, totally top secret. But when I came back to Toronto, I got their most recent innovation in terms of the services that they offer, and I got their microdermabrasion.
Oh yeah,
which I documented on my Instagram stories. I even did like a no makeup selfie afterwards, and it was about 60 minutes. And I'm a big fan. I'm a big like power exfoliation fan, so I really loved the result. Like to the touch afterwards, my skin was so soft, which I don't really find I get that much. And I don't know if you guys out there have experienced a microdermabrasion. Have you experienced it, Carly?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So it doesn't hurt at all. I think there's a lot of confusion about what it is, but it's this like wand that has a fine, about the size of your index finger, and it kind of just like drags across your skin. I once heard somebody describe it as like it kind of feels like a cat's tongue, like the texture of it.
Yeah,
and it's just she just goes by like it, you know, each section of your face drags this sort of like wand across. It doesn't hurt at all. You don't get any redness, and you just get like baby smooth skin. And that's the first time that they've added that to their roster of services, so I definitely, you guys should check it out. And they're in Sephora now too, sephora.ca, so there's lots of news on that front. But when I was in Los Angeles, back to that, I got an opportunity to sit down with fellow beauty podcasters from Full Coverage, Lindsay Kelk and Harriet Hadfield. So Harriet is a makeup artist, Lindsay is an author, and it was just so great to chat them up because they started their podcast, which just goes like microscopic on product reviews. They're like,
they say that it's a podcast for beauty junkies by beauty junkies.
Exactly. And they just go, you know, they get tons of stuff to review, and Harry has a really unique perspective as a makeup artist, and Lindsay used to work in beauty PR, but she's also just hilarious, and she's an author, so she has a way with words, and she's able to,
and they're
to,
both like, British. Should
yeah
we say
British
that?
Yeah, we should say that they're LA residents, but British. We got a chance to sit down, just love them, and I thought we have to have them on our show. So here are Lindsay and Harriet. Okay, you guys are together.
Yes. Okay, perfect.
Do you have wine or what are you drinking?
We're on Pepsi Max.
We're on the Diet Pepsis because
what?
Well, Harry has to drive. Yeah.
And so do I, but I'm having one miniature bottle of champagne. Miniature.
But I'm the loser. I was like, Carlene, I've got this. I'm bringing the Prosecco, and I have these like little bottles. Oh, and I get them into the studio and they're twist off.
She was obsessed with the idea of having the sound of the cork pop.
You had one job.
I literally had one job, and here I am. I'm going to twist it off on the mic. Listen, okay. Guys. Shh. What's that? Wait.
That sounded quite legit. It did. I mean, it sounded like booze.
There you go. Ting.
Okay, wait. We got it. So we're drinking.
We'll do tinnies.
Oh, it didn't make any sound. Oh, man.
So, first of all, Lindsay, I wanted to follow up with you about Magic Mike because I realized I never asked you a very important question about what the beauty situation was like at Magic Mike. How well groomed were these guys?
How much makeup did they have?
What was the body makeup like? Let's hear it.
Actually, Harry has also seen Magic Mike, so we can both address this situation. Because, okay. You know, if you're on the West Coast, it's rude not to.
Yes.
I would say grooming is an excellent level.
I think it was very realistic looking. There was some nice luminous skin, that's fair to say.
Very dewy. Very dewy.
No baby oil.
No. They're nicely glowing, but they're not shiny, oily.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well groomed.
Okay. Any bronzer or contour? What about like ab contour?
There's no contour. No, they are ripped. They are ripped beyond belief. But if you had to do that show twice a day, 6 days a week, you would be.
Yeah.
In fairness.
What about Channing? Did his have his shirt off? Like, how was he looking?
Oh, Channing didn't have his shirt off. He was in between movie Channing. So I think he was more, you know, soft, cuddly Channing. So shirts remained on.
He was having a little, he's enjoying pizza once in a while.
Yeah, he's dad bod Channing. And he did, I guess he just didn't want to take, maybe he didn't want to steal the glory from the boys.
So unfortunately, I didn't get to meet you. I'm Carlene. Hello.
Hi.
I have the low voice of the two of us. So tell me about your background. First of all, just tell us, for all of our listeners, like your names and where you came from and how you met and came together.
I'm Harry. I'm a makeup artist. And I feel like we were introduced by a mutual friend. We say it's like the best blind date ever.
Yeah, it was. It was actually a mutual beauty PR friend.
Yeah.
Who we had both worked with. Hi, I'm Lindsay, by the way. Lindsay Kelk. I guess it goes back a while. I've been beauty blogging for like 10 years. And before that I was beauty PR, so I know a lot of the PRs in London where I used to live, and Jess is one of the PRs in London who is now responsible for our unholy union.
Yes.
Harry was moving over to LA and Jess got in touch and was like, oh, I've got a friend moving out and I think you'll really get on. And
which we did.
Yeah, good
very
work, Jess.
Quickly, yeah. I think it was just very natural, and I think even that English humor, like, you connect with very quickly. And especially when I moved, you know, it's quite unsettling. And I think Lindsay just really helped me feel at home very quickly. Aww. And she's a lovely lass.
I'm a lovely lass. and I just needed like a second set of fingerprints on a gun. So I took Harry in. And that's
a lot of your next book.
Yeah.
So, and Lindsay, can you tell us, our listeners, about your background?
Yes. Other than, as I say, I started out in beauty PR and then moved into blogging. But at the same time, because blogging has not always been a paying profession and still isn't for me. So I was doing beauty blogs, but I also started writing books at the same time. I was working as an editorial assistant in a publishing house and sort of watched all these other people writing books. And I'd always wanted to write books. So I thought, well, give it a go. And that's worked out quite well. So I am now an author. That's my day job when I'm not podcasting with old Difficult Eyes Hadfield. I am an author. I write rom-coms. Yeah. So that's what
I
do.
You were saying when we met up in LA that you're actually on the bestseller list in Canada.
I am. That's a fact. Thanks, Canada. Yeah. Like, I appreciate that, you guys.
What's the next, what's the latest book called again?
The latest book is called I Heart Forever, which is a book in the I Heart series. But for the Canadian listeners particularly, I have a book called The Single Girl's To-Do List, which is partially set in Toronto.
Oh.
So I have an inkling as to why it was on the bestseller list.
And Harriet, did we hear your background getting into makeup?
Well, sorry. Tell us about
the champagne's already hitting me.
It's good. It's good.
Where did I go?
She's gonna drive after this anyway.
I know. I'm really wishing we had champagne though.
Don't tell anybody.
What they don't tell you is the twist off hits you faster.
I mean, my background, it's strange because I from a very young age I knew I wanted to be a makeup artist, which I think is quite a rare thing. A lot of people I meet in the industry either kind of fell into it accidentally, and I think I probably came from a time where we were just starting to see like more kind of makeup courses readily available. I know sort of like 20, 30 years ago, you know, those things didn't exist. Mm-hmm. So I was quite lucky. And now I think, you know, what with YouTube and blogging, and there's so many ways to learn. There's so many people that are self-taught. So I moved to London when I think I was about 18 or 19. I did study at London College of Fashion and kind of started assisting quite young. So I was working with other well-known makeup artists, learning the trade, doing fashion weeks. And I think I knew for me, I've always loved kind of editorial and red carpet. I love kind of telling a story through makeup. That's something that really interests me. And, you know, just started growing my own book once I kind of finished assisting. And just kind of built my client base from there. And I think I was in London about 12 years before moving to Los Angeles. And I love it here. I really, really love it. I think it's been such a good like life lesson as well, you know, that kind of starting again almost in a new place. And I have a YouTube channel as well, Harry Makes It Up, and a blog. I've worked with Rita Ora, I've worked with Charlie XCX, Cara Delevingne, Suki Waterhouse, a kind of mix of quite well-known singers and actresses, and some of the kind of British girls who quite well known in the modeling industry. It's a bit of a mix.
That's great.
What do you make of Cara Delevingne's, I mean, you probably haven't seen it yet, but the new book coming out, Mirror Mirror, is there a lot of buzz around that?
Actually, she co-wrote it with one of my friends. My friend Rowan Coleman, who is a fantastic author if you ever are looking for books. Rowan was her co-writer on that, so I've been following it quite closely because I'm quite invested. But Rowan absolutely loved her, loved working with her, and she's really excited about the project, so I can't wait to read it.
For listeners who don't know, tell us about the point of view of Full Coverage.
So basically, we just love talking about makeup. And that was the thrust of it, was we would get together once Harry had moved out to LA. We would get together and we would go to the events together and we'd just hang out, and inevitably just our conversation always turned around to what products we were loving and what we'd been using and what we liked. And we were hanging out with some people one time and they're like, oh, you guys should have a podcast because like you know so much about this. And I'm like, well, I don't know if that's true, but we do like talking about it. So we sort of, that's how it started, really. It was it was just a real natural progression from us loving podcasts, because we both live in LA, we both drive a lot, we both listen to a lot of podcasts, and loving beauty, and having both been in a blogosphere, if you will, it felt like a natural extension. Because I'll say, definitely. Harry's already got her YouTube channel, which is really successful. I'm far too lazy to make regular videos, but podcasting felt like a really nice alternative.
Plus, you can do it in your pajamas, so there's always that side that makes it very enticing.
100%. In case anyone was wondering what we're wearing right now.
I'm literally wearing a baseball cap right now. You can barely see my face.
And we said as well that with the podcast, the nice thing is we both have quite different takes on, you know, there's some things that we both equally love, but we also have a lot of different opinions on what we agree on and disagree on. So it's quite nice. We feel like we have a nice mix of opinion we can bring to the table, you know, and also we both have different skin types. So when we're kind of talking about something, we can just sort of like bring a few different elements into our opinions on things.
And we really just wanted to create this fun place where people could come and
escapism.
Just like a chatty, supportive makeup beauty positive place where you didn't have to feel judged for wanting to know about that lipstick that costs $40.
Podcast real talk, have you guys ever slagged something off and then edited it out?
No, we haven't. I think we can safely say we haven't.
I think the only actually the only product I know for
the
a fact
YSL
that we have
lipstick.
Oh, the YSL. Oh, it's okay too. So, it was the did you see it was this changing. Summer YSL did those primary color lip enhancers. Yeah, they were like toppers so that you would put like the blue base coat. It was the glossy stain formula, but it was like a bright blue. And then the idea was that you would put the a red on top and it would make it more blue, or you would put a orange on top and it would make it more red. And they had a bright blue, a bright yellow, and a fuchsia color. And it was a limited edition collection. And I mean, Estée Edit did the same thing with the color transformers. A lot of people do them now with the warmer and the cooler. But for whatever reason, we could not get them to work.
I mean, we tried them. We were swatching them and we were like, we both looked like we did the blue one. We were like, we looked like we're dead.
Yeah,
we
looked literally like Laura Palmer at the start of Twin Peaks. It was like not even funny.
And we were just like, how?
And I brought all different glossy stains. So, because like, well, it is a glossy stain. So if I use.
Which we love. Yes, we love the glossy stains in general.
One of my favorite lip products of all time. But like, if I stick to their formula, surely this will work the best. And I just was like, no, you've just put orange lipstick over a blue one. It just, it looks ridiculous. So we did have to, because I bought those with my own money thinking, oh my God, these are definitely going to be my highlight of the week. And I was just so upset that I just could not get them to work. Yeah. So we did have to say that they were not that great. And then the only thing I think we've ever edited out, and it ended up being for sound reasons, we talked about the Kim Kardashian contour products, which Harry might not even remember because we did have a drink that episode.
I was going to say, that's how
yeah, that was our 10th episode. And we were just chatting about the when she launched the contour sticks.
Yeah.
But we didn't slag them off. We just said she's launched contour sticks.
So you guys like to go deep into products on your show. What product are you toting around right now that, or that's in your bathroom that you really should bin? It's just like that old and disheveled.
I can safely say I don't have one just because I'm a makeup artist, my job. So I know it's a boring answer.
I'm
but
so ashamed of you.
I know. I'm actually very good with that. Yeah, sorry.
My entire bag is full of crap and like stuff that shouldn't be in there. My most disgusting product that I definitely need to bin, or at least move into like my archive box is I have got an Urban Decay lip gunk from God knows how long. Like, it's got to be at least 15 years old.
Oh, that's got some bacteria in.
I'm not using it.
But sentimental.
Like, yeah, it's sentimental. I love it. And I will on occasion. But it does still smell the same, which is really weird. It's still got that sweet, sweeties. So it smells like candies, like sweeties. So while I'm not using it, I totally have used it. You all know that. Every time I find it, I'm like, ooh. But yeah, that my friend at Urban Decay was like, please put that in a museum and tell me you've not put it on your face. But that's my most disgusting product for sure.
What beloved product has been discontinued that you wish would come back and why?
For me, it would have to be Ruby and Millie. I don't know if anyone remembers them, but I don't know if they were in America, but they were big in the UK. Ruby Hammer was one of the makeup artists who was part of it, and Millie Kendall, who I think Millie Kendall went on to do Beauty Mart, the store.
So
she was one of the founders of Beauty Mart, which is a great kind of edited hero products from around the world, which still exists. But Ruby and Millie, for those who don't remember, was very, I think it was 90s. I don't even think it was noughties. I'm pretty sure it was 90s. And they did a product called Face Gloss that was like, I think it was called Fire or something like that. Yeah. And it was like a bright orangey red clear gloss in a stick.
Yeah, it was
and
like a twist up deodorant stick.
It looked like really baby deodorant stick, and it was saying it's so ahead of its time, and that is me all over that kind of dewy.
It felt really ahead of it.
Their brushes, I remember when I first started as a makeup artist, I used to love their brushes.
And it was only in Boots, right? I think
as far as I remember, Boots, I think it was in Boots, and it was kind of like seen as the mid price tier.
I don't know what mine would be. There's a couple of things, but I've always been quite good at finding replacements. Try not to dwell on things too much color wise because you can usually find something. One thing that I really miss would be a fragrance, and it's my roommate in uni used to wear Angel, Jerry Mugler Angel, and you could taste it in your mouth when she was spraying it. It was rank. And I still can't be in the room with someone wearing Angel. I'm like, why? What's wrong with you? Why do you hate me? But he did a diffusion of it, or an offshoot line, which was Angel Innocent, which obviously, like me, it was so innocent and light and lovely. But it was so beautiful. And I've got like two bottles hoarded. And they killed it like 8 years ago or something. So God knows what state that perfume's in now. But I have got one bottle that I do still use on occasion. It does still smell right to me, but it probably doesn't in the real world. But I do wish they bring that back. Every time they do something different with Angel, I'm like, just bring back Angel Innocent. It was so pretty and I loved it so much.
Lindsay, I want to ask you about your pink hair.
Yes, my hair is pink. So I was actually, my hair is naturally dark blonde, and for a long time I was a fake redhead. and ran around New York and London pretending that it was real, and it clearly was not. I loved having red hair, and when I was in New York, it was amazing because the sun wasn't out, so it didn't fade. And then as soon as I moved to LA, it just faded to the color of a dirty fox, like constantly. I was having to get it colored like every 4 weeks. It was ridiculous because red hair is really hard to maintain, as I'm sure all the redheads out there know. Mm-hmm. So I realized I had to go back to blonde, which I hadn't been in like 10 years, so it was really weird. So went back to, I stripped out the red, which was just traumatic, and 15 hours of my life I'll never get back.
Who did you trust for that? That's a big deal.
I had the blonde stripped out at Ramirez Tran.
Okay.
In Beverly Hills, and Johnny Ramirez, he oversaw the procedure, didn't stick around for the whole 15 hours. Johnny, I haven't forgotten that. It took 2 days. It ended up being fine. But it was great. I stripped it out. I went back to, and then I ended up growing out a lot of that blonde and going back to my natural color. And then my colorist, who I go to all the time, is a fantastic woman called Naomi Knights. And she has a salon called Nama Color in Highland Park. And I didn't know. So my colorist in New York recommended her to me. And she's like, oh, she's my friend. She'll hook you up. She's so great. You two are going to get along. I was like, oh, yeah, that's amazing. And we did. And I was going to her for a good 6 to 8 months. And then one day she casually was talking to her assistant. And she's like, oh, you need to pack the bags. We're doing Alicia tomorrow. And I was like, oh, Alicia who? And she's like, oh, you know, pink. And I was like, what? With literally that noise. And she's like, oh, yeah, I've worked with her for years. And then it turned out like my colorist has all these celebrities and all this amazing hair. And I had no idea because she just works out of this super unassuming salon in like a little northeast corner of Los Angeles, super neighborhoody. She's super cool, super low-key. You would never have known.
All by the bill?
No, exactly. This is the thing. Because I was like, did you get my check wrong? Am I getting mates rates? Because I know, because she's friends with my New York colorist. But I don't know. I mean, she's a very reasonably priced woman. It's like half the price as it was in New York. It's crazy. But yeah, she's actually the best. So as soon as she said that, like, maybe I would like to have pink hair. And I'd played around with temporary colors myself, because I've always loved alternative hair colors, or non-conventional hair colors, I should say now, which is what's written in my friend's HR policy at work, where they're not allowed non-conventional hair colors. I love that that's in people's HR policies now. It's distracting, apparently, on the office floor. But anyway, yeah, so I went into Naomi and she did it the first couple of times. We started really slow with like opalescent highlights, and then it was just pink tints. And then one time I went in and was like, just do it, go all in.
Now, are either of you big into Halloween and Halloween makeup, and are you going to do anything?
She's laughing because we just had this conversation.
Can I explain? Yeah. I got to Lindsay's apartment today and there is a WWE. I know nothing. One of the wrestling belts is on the table. So I was like, what's going on? What's this about? What's happening today for the episode?
So today's episode, I'll be a professional wrestler. No, I love Halloween and coincidentally professional wrestling. So I'm prepping for Halloween pretty hardcore. I've also got my Gem and the Holograms costume on the sofa and she hasn't spotted that.
Why don't you just merge them and be a glow girl?
That's true. That's all possible.
Done and done.
It's just I have so many costumes, you guys. I love Halloween so much. I love dressing up. I think it's all part of like loving hair and makeup and all that stuff. I really love dressing up. I always loved it as a kid. I just think that it's just that creativity, you know. It's just like being something else and telling a story that day. And I just think it's super fun when you can engage with that side.
Yeah. We wanted to talk about some like embarrassing beauty moments. Loads of them. Do you have any from like either childhood or last week, whatever?
I remember having, it was more my hair, I think, most evidently when I look back at photos. I remember being obsessed with highlights, but I remember saying to my mum when she was doing like the $7.99 L'Oreal streaking kit, I was like, no, mum, go heavier, leave it longer, do bigger chunks. I wanted it like a skunk.
You wanted the Spice Girls.
And my mum was like, no, it's meant to be really subtle. And I was like, no, I want it really visible. And I remember going that holiday we had in America, going in the pool and it all went green. And then I was like, oh, God, I have no idea what to do.
Yeah, and our final question, we've got to wrap up here because we're in a studio, so the guys like TikTok. but we're wondering about, since you guys moved to LA, we know that you mentioned podcasts are huge in LA, so what are you guys loving right now? What's on your playlist?
I'm a full-on weirdo. This is just the Lindsay's too, a weirdo hour, isn't it? Yeah, because all my favorite podcasts are either about professional wrestling or dead people. I love professional wrestling, as we've established. So I listen to 3 or 4 different wrestling podcasts. I also co-host one sometimes out here in LA. There's one called Tights and Fights. It's fantastic. And whenever one, I know, right?
Before you move on, are you watching Glow?
I have watched Glow.
I haven't yet.
Do you enjoy it? The beauty is so good.
It's so good. And I love that 80s beauty. I love 80s looks. It's just so much fun to me. So, yeah, I loved Glow, everything about it. Can't wait for season 2. But, yeah, so I love my wrestling podcast. And then I also have a really unhealthy interest in, like, serial killers.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed, since moving to LA, got super into the Manson family.
Yeah.
Which just sounds really wrong. So I'm currently working my way through the You Must Remember This 10-part series on the Manson family.
Did you listen to Dirty John yet?
I didn't. No, not yet. Not yet. There's so many and there's not enough time.
I know.
But everything's on the list. I'll get there.
What about you, Harry?
For me, I feel like, so my guilty pleasure is planning. And I've weirdly, like I said, I've been getting really back into trying out my own photography recently and like experimenting with prime lenses. So there's a blogger called Style on Nylon who's London based, and she does a photography podcast, which is really good. And she talks a lot about like vintage lenses, how to kind of use them with adapters on modern cameras. And then my other one that I actually have like a little routine with, that I try to listen to one every morning when I go run. I sound really LA right now, I apologize. When I go running on the beach. Disgustingly LA. Forgive me. I'm a cliche. The other one I listen to, because they're only like 20 minutes long and he does one every single day, is, I think it's called Entrepreneurs on Fire.
Okay.
And it's really motivational. It's super. And he basically interviews a different entrepreneur every day. I think he's done like something ridiculous, like 3,000 episodes. Like he's been doing it for ages, does one every single day, 7 days a week. And it's just really inspiring. And there's women, there's men, there's all different ages. There's people that are really well known. Yeah, there's really well known people. Some people you may never have heard of, but you'll know the companies they work for. And I just find it really inspiring. And it's nice hearing about, you know, other businesses that are very different, but how they've got to that. And yeah.
I like listening to serial killers.
I know.
Well, thank you guys so much for meeting me when I was in LA, and also taking the time today, because I know you're both so busy.
Awesome.
No, not thank all. You for We're going to have to come up to Toronto for a return.
Thanks for tuning in. Visit breakingbeauty.ca to sign up for our newsletter, and every episode will be delivered direct to your inbox, so you won't miss a single thing.
And be sure to subscribe to us. There's Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and SoundCloud, wherever you get your podcast fix.
And if you're up for it, show your love by writing a review in iTunes.